first thing I would like to just start with this morning is, while I was preparing, for whatever reason, this picture of a parade couldn't get out of my mind. And when's the last time that you have been to a parade? And it's been such a long time, but I had these memories as a kid of going to a parade, and I had to, my parents, they watch the service at times, and so hopefully they're watching it. So I have to give a shout out to my dad, because at one of the parades, right, you know how they fling candies out and freezies and all this sort of stuff, and us as kids were there, my dad actually broke his tooth opening a freezy for one of us kids. So he was so committed. And so, Dad, I thank you. He had to actually get a fake tooth to like replace it because he broke it in half. And so you can think of all this craziness, the three of us kids, and maybe for those that have kids too, or invoking your inner kid, reminding yourselves of what excitement that was. Maybe right, you we're fighting for a spot. Maybe it was climbing up trees. Maybe it was lampposts, or maybe it was going on the shoulders of an adult just so you could get a picture of the action. Maybe you had the favorite part when the fire trucks or the clowns or these amazing floats that people put together, and you were just in awe. You were drawn to this action. And so this morning, I really feel like there's this part of Scripture where we see two people drawn to Jesus. And we see as Jesus moves through the countryside, and eventually what happens in Luke is he eventually gets closer and closer to Jericho, and then obviously on his way to Jerusalem. And so what Jesus is doing is he's teaching and he's preaching and he's healing and all of a sudden, in Luke chapter 19, he meets a wealthy person. And we're going to take a look this morning at two responses, two things when we're drawn to Jesus, what our response can be. And so I think for us this morning, the idea that I'm going to try to get across is this idea that what's keeping us from Jesus. We need to release what's keeping you and I from Jesus. Is there something in our lives that is truly holding us back from following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And so the thing that's keeping us from Jesus is a story that we're going to take a look at first is in Luke 18. And I'm going to compare and contrast two responses. And so if you turn, and I believe it'll be behind me as well, is first Luke 18 to about verse 27. And so the title of this section is The Rich Man, or other parts of Scripture may call it The Rich Young Ruler. And so I'm going to take the account out of Luke 18. It says this, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus responds, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." And here we see the man's reply. I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." When Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this said, then who in the world can be saved? And he replied, what is impossible for people is possible with God. And so, I don't know about you, but has there been times in your life like this rich man where he felt like he was on the right track? Where he felt he was good enough, where he had done enough, and he even thought he had done everything he could do. He had, in a way, he had made a checklist in his mind. And I can kind of see as Jesus was asking him these things, he was checking off that list in his mind. Yet how often do we see Jesus in Scripture? He has a way of turning things on its head, doesn't he? And Jesus looks right into the man's heart. And he knows that wealth was important to him. And so we see that this man is left with a choice. He's left with this invitation to follow Jesus. Jesus gives him this opportunity. Have you ever asked Jesus a question? Have you ever wanted an answer? And I know I can relate to Jesus. I can relate to this rich man in this way. He started with this question of, what must I do? And I can put myself in that situation, and I know I often need adjustments. I often need my perspective switched or changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It sounds so much easier to me, and I don't know about you, but just give me a list. Just give me something to do, and I can follow it. No problem. Check this off. Check that off. I've accomplished things. It's easy if I just have a list. But I'd rather do that than often reckon or give up something that Christ has called me to release to him. For this wealthy young ruler, as other scriptures depict him, wealth was the thing keeping him from Jesus. And I don't know about you and in your life as well, and in mine, is there something that you can pinpoint? Is there something in your life that Jesus has brought up over and over again in your life, and he's asking you, just give it to me. Just release it to me. I'll take it. I'm sufficient. I'm all powerful to take that thing that you need to give to me. Friends, is there things in our lives that he's just asking you to give to him? What are the areas that you and I, we don't fully surrender to him? What are you holding on to? What am I holding on to? What do we need to lay down at the feet of Jesus? Maybe right in the Bible, it often talks about maybe this idea of idols. What are things that we have put above the power of Jesus Christ? And again, I'm not saying this casually. I understand that these things aren't easy. They're difficult to let go of. I understand that. But again, in this part of Scripture, we see that wealth was the thing that Jesus was highlighting in this young man. But maybe it's power. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a sin cycle in your lives. Maybe it's status. Maybe it's fear. And I was... This kind of popped into my mind this morning, but I'm not sure if some of you know a pretty famous speaker named Ravi Zacharias. And I don't know if you have heard the news about, unfortunately, some things that were in his life that weren't good. And I was just thinking about that He unfortunately let that thing in his life. It was hidden. And it was, he unfortunately had some pretty sad stuff, was sexual things with women and those sort of things. And it was really sad. And I was reading this report and I was sad about it. Because such a godly person that allowed that one thing, that he had pain in his back and he allowed that to take over what Jesus wanted to do in his life. That he spoke in front of thousands of people, but behind the scenes there was this thing that God, I know, was highlighting in his life to allow Jesus to take over, but he didn't. And it was sad as I read the report of the many people that were impacted by those decisions that he made, and it was sad. I've actually sat in and listened to him speak. He is an amazing speaker. God used him in so many ways. But there's such sad things that happen because he wasn't willing to allow Jesus into that place in his life. And so we have seen this account of this young man, that this one thing, that it had become his security, that he didn't believe, right, that Jesus was sufficient, that Jesus was the thing that he needed in his life. He was too caught up in the wealth and the comforts that brought, that he looked at what Jesus had to offer and he thought, I don't think that's worth it. And so now let's look at the account of Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus and this rich person had so many things in common, yet he accepts Jesus' invitation. And so we need to receive Jesus without delay, don't we? We don't need to hold back. And so if you flip to the next chapter of Luke, into Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and had become very rich. One of the commentators that I was reading through said this. It says, that title is not found anywhere else, that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. So there's significance in Luke telling us that he was a chief tax collector. That it seems like that he was the head of some maybe local taxation department. In today's day and age, we'd say he was a big deal. And as we look at those details of what Luke has put, clearly he was wealthy. Clearly, the young man and the young ruler that we've read earlier, they have these things in common. And I'm sure some of you, you know, that grew up in the church, you know this story well. And Matt and I, as he was just kind of picking some songs, you know, we laughed about, you know that song, right? As a little kid. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I said, do it to play it, you know, but anyway, right? And I remember singing that in Sunday school. Right? And those felt boards with Zacchaeus and the leader, right? Scurrying them up the tree. And so as we get back into the context, the social context of this story was people would have seen Zacchaeus and his wealth as actually a blessing from God. That as you compare today and as well as Zacchaeus, right, that wealth, what would that have brought him? That would have brought him power. It would have brought him status. It would have brought him control. All the things that in today's day and age that are quite appealing, aren't they? That society says that we should be grasping after. So I think as I went through the scripture, I could see that there's things that Zacchaeus would have clung on to. It probably wasn't just about the money with Zacchaeus. There was so much more. He was, again, probably hanging on to all of the benefits that come along with the money. Yet, as we're going to read, Jesus through all of this and knew that it was him. It was Jesus that Zacchaeus needed. And as you dig a little further into Zacchaeus, I just find, right, when you dig in, you find some interesting and fascinating facts. In Hebrew, Zacchaeus means pure or innocent. And I don't know about you, but if you know anything about a tax collector of that time or publicans, as sometimes some people would reference them, this wasn't a small job. This wasn't an insignificant job. What they would have done is it would have been similar to today with construction on bigger jobs. What they would have done is they actually would have had to bid on the job for that region. Zacchaeus would have met with the Roman officials and leaders of that time, and he would have said, okay, I will collect, let's just say, I'll collect the taxes for the city of Nanaimo. And I believe that when I collect these taxes, I believe it's going to be $1 million. Let's say, he's like, I can do that for $1 million. And the Roman officials would think about it and check their census and how many people, and then they would have said, okay, Zacchaeus, you've won that bid. And then what would have happened is Zacchaeus, and like we read earlier, he probably was a part of a department, they would collect the money. And what happens is they would collect the money from the farmers. And let's say at the end of it, what happens is they collected $1.5 million, let's say. Zacchaeus would get to keep the extra. And what he would only have to do is he would only have to give the Roman officials that $1 million, let's say. And he would get to keep the rest. And so, as many of you have probably heard, that didn't sit too well with his fellow Jews. That they knew he had become wealthy off of them. That he was, you know, taking a little extra. And the other part about his role is that he was working very closely with the Romans of that time. And if you know the history of that time, the Jews despised the Romans. They wanted nothing to do with the Romans. That there was groups of people in history that were trying to start a rebellion, that were refusing to do what the Romans had said. But as we know in history, the such power that the Romans had, they were controlling the Jews. And they were kind of allowing them to do certain religious things. And so not only was Zacchaeus taking money from his fellow Jews, he was also working closely with the Romans. And that just didn't sit right with the people that he was collecting that taxes from. And let's take a look at verse 3. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going that way, going to pass that way. And I don't know why, again, there's lots of reasons why I was drawn to this passage, but maybe it's because, again, I've been vertically challenged, you know, in my life. And right when I was in school, it was the, you know, the system of, okay, start with the shortest person, you know, in line and move to the tallest. And I would always be like, okay, start here and go that way, right? And so Zacchaeus here, right? Luke gives us, I was curious, right, like, Why again did Luke feel it was necessary to talk about his stature? But again, there was this thing. I give Zacchaeus some credit. He wasn't going to let that hold him back, was he, from seeing Jesus? And so, right, I had to go on Google Earth and Google Images and look up these sycamore trees, and they are like, as a kid, if you look at kid with kids' eyes, they're like the ultimate tree that you want to climb. They just like invoke, like, man, I would love to put a tree fort in them. Like these beautiful big branches that are arched branches, like just the perfect tree to climb. It's not like, you know, those trees sometimes, you know, we have small, you know, Douglas fir around here with those tiny little branches that are half rotten. And I teach an outdoor class and kids are scampering up them and they're breaking and they're falling and stuff. It's not that type of tree. It's the tree that if you're going to climb a tree, that's the one you're going to go for. And I love just looking at the pictures and trying to put myself in that situation and in Zacchaeus's. So maybe, right, see? And so, again, I just love the fact that Luke, like, why is he putting the type of tree in there? And I don't know, maybe just again, just for me, again, and others, just to get that picture of what Zacchaeus, what it would have looked like. And so we see this hype that Jesus had created. And again, I was thinking about the back to the connection of the parade. And right, maybe you saw billboards or maybe you heard it on the radio or maybe friends told you about the parade that's coming to town. And so what has happened is Jesus, through the amazing thing he has done, has created this hype. And people want to see him. They want to be around him. And I just love how, again, the Holy Spirit connects and intertwines messages. Last week, I love how Katie focused her talk on the woman at the well with Jesus. And again, if you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to do so. That again, the woman at the well and Zacchaeus were similar in so many ways. That the big thing and the difference between them is that when they were in the presence of Jesus, they chose to be in that presence. They chose to give him space in their life, even if it was just for a minute. Friends, are we giving space for the Holy Spirit and Jesus in our lives? They both recognized that Jesus was near and chose to engage. And I love, again, how friends, if we look at this process of salvation, how the Holy Spirit draws people, how the Holy Spirit brings people into the church. But what's amazing is that we have a part to play in it too as well, friends. Whether it's saying hi, whether it's talking in the back, whether it's praying for one another, whether it's meeting outside of this, it's amazing how God works in community, isn't it? That we get to help in bringing people to Jesus. Let's get back to verse 5. And it says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus. Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Jesus is responding to Zacchaeus' willingness to be drawn. Jesus responds to Zach's, I had to put Zach because I was tired of typing out Zacchaeus all the time, but seeking him, right? He goes to the tree and Jesus sees that. And I don't know about you friends, but I'm not much of a planner. I love kind of those moments, just spontaneous things. And my wife was here, she would be nodding her head. She doesn't like that very much, but I just love, oh, spur of the moment, those sort of things. She likes it a little more planned out. It's the nursing background in her, likes things in a row. And again, I can think of there's countless times in our lives where I've left things to the last minute. Where, you know, we're planning trips, and I can remember trips where we had the opportunity to go to Europe, and I just left it till the last minute, and I had to actually, like, get a travel agent to, like, mastermind the plan to put all the trains, the plane, you get off the plane, and then you get on the transit, the bus, and then the bus would get us to you know, the train that would go to a different country and all these sort of things, and again, I kind of just was like, oh, yeah, it'll totally all work out. Well, you know what? We get to a train, and somebody talks to me and says, hey, do you have these tickets? And I look at Megan, and I'm like, no. And he's like, well, you're going to have to get off the train. And I'm like, but we can't get off the train because the next train leads us to this. And right, and I'm like trying to have this conversation. Well, because I don't know. I just like some of that stuff. And even now I tell it, I'd probably just do it all over again. And Megan is shaking her head. But the reason why I'm sharing that story is because sometimes we can get a little stressed out with the details, can't we? We like things planned out. And so how many of you, if you put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes and Jesus said, you know what, I'm coming to your house for lunch in a few minutes. Okay, hands up. How many of you, your heart is starting to palpitate? Oh, you're like, okay, shoot. Okay, I don't know if I have food. The bathrooms aren't clean. Like, what's in the fridge? Like, all that sort of stuff. But you know what? Jesus didn't ask us to play safe. We were born to be brave. And you know what? There's a difference between playing it safe and being safe. Because being safe and close to Jesus is obviously the ultimate thing. It's the safest place that we can be. And so God's plan is simply, right, love him and be a lover of those who are lonely, who are awkward, who are strange, who are thirsty, who are hungry, who are strangers. We need to love them. But sometimes we make it a little complicated. But as we see here, Jesus and Zacchaeus are making it simple. Maybe it's the person right beside you here, sitting here, that you don't know. Maybe it's the person in the coffee shop. Maybe you just need to buy him a coffee. Keep it simple, not complicate things. Verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. I love that. Excitement and joy. Charles Spurgeon says this. Two sermons in a row, we have to hear from Spurgeon. It says this. It says, Christ will not force himself into any man's house and sit there against the man's will. That would not be the action of a guest, but of an unwelcome intruder. Do you see that Zacchaeus received Jesus without delay, even when he knew it would cost him everything? But by faith, he believed what Jesus could offer was better, even if he totally didn't understand it would offer fullness. But again, as we see in Scripture, the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. See, as Katie reminded us last week, Jesus doesn't see people that way, does he? The people we see as sinners, he calls children. God is working on all of us, and sometimes it's different stuff, isn't it? But let's lift people up. Let's lift people up. How can we do this? We can show them kindness, even when it's inconvenient. Lift others up. Verse 8, Zacchaeus, he stands there and he says, I will give half my wealth to the poor. If I've cheated any people of their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responds, salvation has come to this house today. For this man has himself a true son of Abraham. And he has come to seek and save those who are lost. Since Zacchaeus was so hated by his fellow Jews, they probably often said that he wasn't a real Jew. But again, Abraham, the great man of faith, Zacchaeus ties into that. We see that Zac had jumped in both feet. And so, we can often underestimate those small encounters, can't we? And I love what Bob Goff says. He says, instead of telling people what they want, we need to tell them who they are. This works every time. We'll become in our lives whoever the people we love the most say we are. God does this constantly in the Bible. I believe he did that for Zacchaeus, and he can do it for us. And so in conclusion, here's what I'd love for us just to pray over Whether it's you sitting there and needing people to come around you where you're sitting, or whether you feel like it's time to come forward and have us pray for you. Jesus has come to save the lost. Do you need to be found? Do you need to be put back on the path for Jesus? Do you need to be reminded where he's met you? Because you know what? When you meet Jesus, change happens, doesn't it? When you meet the Holy Spirit, change happens. We can pray for that encounter right now. Maybe there's areas that you need to surrender, just like that wealthy man. Maybe you need to lay it at his feet. Maybe it's old ways of thinking. Maybe it's other pursuits. Maybe it's finding it hard to connect with people again now. Maybe there's challenging people in your life that we need to pray for. If you've lost your way with God, let him close the distance between you and start celebrating again. And so I just encourage the worship team to come forward. And yeah, we just want to pray for that. We want to pray for those things that I have mentioned as the worship team plays in the background. And if that's you, I would love to pray for you. Others as well, to come forward and pray that God would do that amazing work that he did in Zacchaeus' life for you and for I. And so friends, take that step today. I encourage you to do so.